Assalamu alaikum. We love saying that to you, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to come on the air as much as I have done in over 8 years. It gives me great privilege to want to address you out there in radio land. I can never thank Allah, but God, that's all his name, is the God, for giving me the motivation and determination to want to speak to your intellect through mine. And hopefully that I can get past your consciousness and get deep down in your subconscious mind. Yes, we have a subconscious mind that's more closer than Allah, than your conscious. If you can be tricked, you get stabbed in the back, you can be bamboozled. And you don't have a clue why you were tricked. It's amazing that we don't understand why we was created and why did God give us so many gifts to help us. I want to talk about that this evening, the blessings that God himself has stored upon us. And it isn't just a beating, it is. You have to go through trial and error, we as human beings. But Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives it to us time and matter that he chooses. He, God, have to be able to allow us to think in the mindset that we have the ability to grasp the understanding to want something out of life. We have that ability, brothers and sisters. I'm your host tonight, Muraj Mohammed, and we come to you from Blog Talk Radio, New Africa. Excellent, Muraj Speaks. And we come to you 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And we want to discuss why do we call ourselves Muslim. You ever thought about that? I believe it's a good topic. Because we do use that word, we use it loosely, but I don't think we can comprehend what it means. But Muslim is a major, major title to recognize, whether we like it or not. We are Muslims. I want to explain to you why I enjoy doing this. Because I'll stay up late at night, early in the morning. I'll fall asleep and wake up again, just studying what God wants from us and how we was created. And I study that because it motivates me to want things out of life. But you want to know something, brothers and sisters? What I want out of life is for us as a community, to be successful. I've always wanted that ever since I was a young man. I can honestly tell you, every time I did something and was able to go to another level, I shared it. People didn't want to do what I do, but I tried my best to share it and say, you too can do the same thing. I found myself giving, but no one gives me anything but Allah himself. And my mama tried her best to give me things that I would like to have, but I understood my mother couldn't afford it. I really understood that. I'm a young man, and surely we get disappointed, especially if you promise your child something and they don't get it, he's looking for it. But I always thought about the good things that Mama gave me that I asked for. During Christmas, I wanted a guitar. I wanted a guitar because my older sister used to play her records, and she had all kinds of music. She loved dancing, she loved music, and she was older, so she'd get whatever she wanted. And she used to say, boy, don't you touch my record player. And she would cover it up. It was white and pink. It was beautiful. I used to watch her play and know how to play it. She didn't know I knew how to play it. And she used to say, Paul, yeah, that was my name. Paul, don't you turn that record player on. You hear me? Yes, ma'am. And I would look out the window with my sister, Laura. She was my partner in crime. And as soon as he turned that corner, I took that cover off, and my sister and I used to dance for hours. And I learned a song, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. I didn't know who he was, except Elvis Presley. So I said, I want to do that, my mother, for a guitar. And you know, I used to stay up 1 o'clock in the morning because I want to see Santa Claus come. And I realized that you ain't getting nothing until you go to bed. Santa Claus is not coming. You got to go to bed. So I went to bed. When I woke up, we woke up early. I peeked around in the corner, and I saw something sticking straight up. But it was right. And that's my guitar. That's my guitar. Yeah, my mama gave me a guitar. And I played just that song. It ain't nothing but a hound dog. So sometimes your mother can give you things. But I was a rebellious young man in school. Don't blame me. Blame my oldest brother. He brought me into this mom, so he said, all white folks are the devil. But I didn't let the devil teach me. Especially if you tell me they are devils. And that's amazing, telling a young man that all white folks are the devil. Well, my brother was a dresser. My mother couldn't afford to dress me. Well, my brother was going out to go out and make his own money. And so he used to leave and go to Southside High. And they would get out at 3 o'clock. We'd get out at 3 o'clock also, put on his clothes. Now, he was much taller than I. And I used to turn my pants up and around and tie it up with a rope and put his jacket on and his pants. And they would say, why are you dressed like that? I said, I'm Rashid Shabazz. I told you what we're talking about. He's Rashid Shabazz. And so my mother, brothers and sisters, didn't like my pork chop. Everybody else had A's and B's, all my siblings. And the girls had straight A's. My brother was a great reader. And my mother took me downtown and said, I'm going to buy you those set of drums. Oh, I said, what do I got to do, Mama? She said, bring me home a good report card. I came home on the honor roll. She was so happy. Oh, she was so happy. She said, well, my BC ain't no dummy. But she couldn't buy me that. She couldn't buy me that set of drums. I didn't get angry at my mama. I have never, ever in my life was angry with my mother. I ignore her sometimes. So I have thoughts on my mind because she would wake me up. Haw, 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 haw. I don't mean that. She said, don't do me. I said, well, why can't she be quiet? But you better not tell your mother that. So, yes, I had those kind of moments. I brought home honor roll report card. If you couldn't pay for it, I brought home F's. What I grew up and learned, brothers and sisters, that when we go to school, we don't have a mother. And now if they have a law, well, I'm going to listen to them. But I got to the eighth grade, and that black woman said something to me. She said, Lear, that's what she called me. You know, in school, they don't call you by your first name. She said, Lear. I said, yes, ma'am. Why you walk around and you don't beat somebody up? Well, I didn't like her because I heard that she smacked jokers upside the head. Ain't nobody put their hands on me and go, my mother. She said, but you're a handsome boy. Oh, did she get my attention. Make a long story short, I had a second mother. And that's who turned me around in the sense of the word of wanting to be educated. But I'm going to Sister Clara Muhammad School, and I'm learning, and I wanted to supersede everything that one didn't believe they was able to do. That's where it started. And I realized there's a lot of things we don't teach our children, and they got to grow up and be like myself and run into these situations, and we don't know how to handle it. But that mother of mine was a very intelligent woman. She comes from 15 siblings, she made 16. And my grandpa was a very intelligent man. He was taught by the slave master. He was a mathematician. So all my uncles and aunts were very, talk like doctors. But they were all strict. Their children were raised strict. My sons and I was raised strict. And he would get that backhand. I thought my mother was 7 feet tall. But the reason why I'm saying all this to you all is that things come to me. People come to me. And I was listening to a show, brothers and sisters, because that was my wife on that show. And yes, my niece, Salima Mohammed. And I wanted to hear it. If I heard it before, I want to hear it again. And I got a call. And when I got a call, it was a sister that was loyal, over 8 years, loyal, listening to what I have to say. So I literally called her my wife from the neck up. I literally called her that. And she called me her husband. She loves me, and I love her. And the idea that I realized what a woman is all about. But I wanted to know about Solomon. Solomon, my father, when he left here, he was a great preacher. And my father left here, he said, "Son, I can't wait to get to heaven." He can't wait to get to heaven? Ah, my father believed he was going to heaven. I like that, because I believe I'm going to heaven. But I don't just want to slide in. I don't want to walk in. I don't want to run in. The 7-Elevens of heaven. I want to make it to the 7-Eleven. I want to be the best I can be while I'm on earth. But I believe I'm in heaven. I haven't done anything. I believe I did more good. Allah says, if you're 51% good outside being only 49, you're making it to heaven. Oh, I know I did that. I'm beyond 51%. Yes, I'm that intelligent to realize I can judge myself. Can't judge nobody else. But I can judge myself, like doctors say. Dr. Holt, she says, let me tell you something. You're your own physician. Rightly so. I can tell you another story that I would have been out of here if I wasn't smart enough to question everything. Yes, it happened. This is what they do to us. Some people say, you're getting spooky. I ain't getting spooky. They don't want us to tell you anything that's good, that's going to make you elevate your intellectual mind to another level. And when you get to that level, you raise the bar to elevate it to that level. And you don't stop. You do not stop. But God says, you study from the cradle to the grave. And most people thought the cradle was 2 years old or 2 months old. How about 1 month old? That's not the cradle God is talking about. He's talking about new understanding. You're just a baby. If I can teach you something you never know, that's the cradle. So you study from the cradle all the way to your grave. That's important. So my father taught me about Solomon. And he said he wanted to get there to ask Solomon, why did he have 950 wives? Now, I had to ponder in my mind, brothers and sisters, I had to ponder in my mind to come to the conclusion this is modern technology way above Solomon. This is all new, coming from man. What we have access to, 5G, that didn't even exist. Wow, even telephones didn't exist. How about radio? No such thing. Solomon had 950 wives. So I said, how could a man, if they got a green pill out there, they got a blue pill, I don't care if it's a pink pill. There's no pill can help a man today to handle 950 wives physically. So I began to study. Now, I'm not tonight going to teach you about Solomon because I can do that all night. There's a lot of stories with Solomon. He was a righteous man. He could talk to the ant. He could talk to the birds. He could talk to the jinn. He could talk to the angels. So that means he was very highly faithful to his Lord. But he had 950 wives. And I said to myself, self, yes, I talked to self. I remember coming out of the elevator, and I was only 9 years old. And then the young lady said, young man, I heard you all through the door coming down off the elevator. Who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to myself. She said, don't you ever say that again. Say you was talking to a very intelligent man. God, I learned that, and that's what I tell people. They say, is he talking to us? No, I'm talking to a very intelligent person. You see how people can teach you things, and you'll never forget it. So it was Solomon with 950 wives. And it came to me. I got it. I got it. Life is a community. And you surely cannot make up a community without man and woman. Now, a community does not make the individual. An individual collectively makes up the community. But you should love your sisters like a wife. You love your sisters as if she's married. You are in the place of that husband when he's not around. You take his position. Keep in mind, you are only the husband from the neck up. And yes, he should love you because you will give your life for her, that she loves you from the neck up. Now, I know you read in the Quran. It says distinctly, treat your wife like your right hand possessed. Now, wait a minute. I just told you that that female, whether she's married or not, is your wife, the significant other, not the girlfriend, your wife, but from the neck up. So you treat her like your right hand possessed. And you single women will say, you ain't treat me like your hand. Oh, hell no. But they didn't get it. God is not talking about the physical hand, brothers and sisters. It's like he's not talking about a wife from the neck down. You got it? So what is his right hand possess? Take that word hand that you see, that you utilize, put it aside, but it got your attention, and your attention is saying distinctly, treat her like a righteous man. Treat her like your right side of your character. Treat her right so she can feel safe. Treat her with your righteous moral. That's what God is saying. But if you fall in love with her, she fell in love with you, and you no longer want to treat her like the right hand possessed, and you no longer want to treat her like the wife from the neck up, and you want to make love to her, what he says. He says, give her her dignity. Yes, Lord. But what is her dignity? Marry her. There it is. Simple as that. Marriage. Now, some people believe that marriage is a piece of paper. Just go do your homework and find how many times that piece of paper went in the garbage. Because you lawsuit here, lawsuit there. You said you loved me, but you didn't love me, but you signed that piece of paper. There was no piece of paper. There was no paper, brothers and sisters. What was marriage? Well, let's bring it up to the 21st century. You're in the courtroom. And you're in the courtroom, and what happens in that courtroom? The judge says, why are you two here? And the woman speaks first. I do not like this man. I want a divorce. I don't know why I married him. He said, what about you, sir? She don't want me. I don't want her. She don't like me. I don't like her. He said, okay. I'm going to ask you, young lady, did you consummate the marriage? Yes. The priest was there. The rabbi was there. The imam was there. Yes. All my family member was there. Yes, I did. We signed that piece of paper. I gave him his ring. Yes. He said, what you got to say, sir? She is right. My family was there. I signed the piece of paper. I gave her that diamond. He said, you did. But y'all didn't answer my question. What is the question, Your Honor? Did y'all consummate the marriage? Did you have sex? Hell no, the woman said. I wouldn't have sex with that man. I was with him for 6-7 months. I want this over with. I want nothing to do with him. What about you, sir? I wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole. I didn't have anything to do with her. I don't want her. Well, could I ask you a question? Yes. What in the hell are you doing in my courtroom? We want a divorce, Carter, the woman says. You're not even married. You never consummated the marriage, so you're not married. Case dismissed. So it means even today, if you never made love or whoopee, whatever you want to call it, you are not married to that individual. So let's go back. When we was in our righteous nature, there's no such thing as a piece of paper. But once you enter into her and she accepts, that's your wife. That's the consummation, even today. So where all this piece of paper come from? Why do we have to have witnesses to bear witness? You see, brothers and sisters, but we are not me. Yes, this is modern technology, and surely this is the day of judgment day. Every day is judgment day. But when you act in your nature, when you act in your nature, able to manifest the will that God has given you to be excellent. And so therefore, you are trained and taught by your mother and your father, son, daughter. Don't you ever go out here and just have free sex. It could come back to haunt you. It could stop you from going to college. But if so, get married. Well, Satan didn't like that. Because I say all the time, there's three things that moves a woman. Because something she ain't never do, will do or have done, it hurts. So she asks, you going to hurt me? You going to tell her, no, I don't care who you are, if you want something. Are you going to pregnant me? Because she can't hide that from her mama. No. And the last question, do you love me? Even that, 9 out of 10, that woman's out of there. She's getting weak, but she's out of there. She don't want to do this. But here come that pill. Satan gave us that pill. Whoa, you mean I could have whoopee and don't get pregnant? You think I'm not going to have sex? So nobody knows what you're doing. Because why are you taking those pills? Well, sometimes the pills come back to haunt you, and sometimes you get pregnant because it's not 100%. Nothing man do is 100%. So that 1%, you can get pregnant if God wills it. Because only a child comes about with God's will. So we became loose. There's nothing bound us no more. Our God conscience have left. And then you have this man, and you find out that that's all he wanted. So are you going to stop? Are you him? No. And you have another one. And you have another one. And now you don't have no more conscience. Why you don't have no more conscience? You ever see a person, a man will go out and get paid to kill somebody. But when he pulls that trigger's tough. That's his conscience saying, don't pull the trigger. Don't pull the trigger. Your conscience is saying, this is wrong. This is wrong. And he, oh, he's upset. He killed somebody. He can't wait to go home. He sits in the corner. He's sweating. I killed somebody. Oh, God, forgive me. He's begging. He's pleading. If he didn't go home, she knows she did wrong. He takes all kinds of baths and all kinds of solutions and take a shower. She's scrubbing. She's scrubbing because why? Her conscience is saying, you know that was wrong. You know that was wrong. But guess what? You do it again. And when you do it the second time, you realize that you ain't sweating like you sweat before. But you got that. Oh, my sister, you go home and you don't take two baths and you don't take all the cleaning that you had the first time, but you're going to do it. You're going to clean yourself up. Because why? Your subconscious is saying, you know you shouldn't have done that. That man pulls the trigger the second time, but the trigger was a little easier when he pulled that trigger. And he killed the second guy. He didn't run home, but he didn't go home. Caught up, but he didn't sit in the seat and figuring out, why did I do that? And come the third time. The third time comes, sister, you enjoy it. So you want the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time, and some of you can't count no more. You lost your conscience that you can't even count how many men that ran through you. It doesn't matter. My conscience is not talking to me. My self-conscious is not telling the conscience that I should do this no more. That man. He pulls the trigger the third time. It's so easy. Bang, he went to eat. Trigger's easy now. Why? He had no conscience. One, you killing yourself, and he killing everybody but himself. Same thing. See what the subconscious is? Allah gave you the subconscious. Allah gave you a soul. You can make decisions. But Satan makes it easy for us. So therefore, it was no such thing as a piece of paper. There was no piece of paper that you had to sign. You don't need no third party to tell you who you love, who you are. It's in you to tell you something about that man. What makes it different? Because there are a whole lot of men, and they put their hands on you. And you say, do you mind moving your hands? Oh, I think you would get your damn hands off me. And another man can come by and put his hands on you. Ooh, send a chill up your body. They need to hold your hand. Oh, my God, you know. That's the nature saying something about this one is different than all of them that approach me. That's the one. And likewise with you, bro. You come to her and bear gifts and so far, why? Because she's pleasing to the look. You don't know what you got, but you're going to gamble. So that's the nature of the human being. Sex ain't dirty. We make it dirty. It's such a gift that Allah bless you. One that comes out is your offspring. You seeing yourself running around crying and asking for certain things. It should make you feel good that God allowed you to make whoopee because you don't make babies. But here comes a child. So you ever thought about that? Now, there's drugs, reefer, there's wine, there's pills, cough syrup, that could take your mind away from you. And once your mind is taken away, you do things that you thought about. I always thought that I could have more than one man at a time. But you're in your right state of mind. You're not going to do that. But it's a thought. Oh, Allah, don't allow me to sin no more. Please help me. I don't want to do that. But you got high. You put something in your drink. All that you thought you asked for is coming to fruition. Likewise to you, brother. You thought about, I'd go this woman, I'd have both of them at the same time, and so forth and so on. This is Satan. He took you out of your nature. He took you away from your deen al-fitra, and you don't know it. You don't know. You left your soul. You literally left it. So the body knows you're ahead, but you ain't in charge no more. That's why you're on a skid row, because you're not in charge no more. The body don't respect you anymore. And you down there saying, what am I doing down there? And the body said, because you're a damn fool. Pray for what you want. You want to shoot that needle? They pray for it. Why? Because you put it in them. You pray for drinking that alcohol. You pray for smoking those dope, or what they call it, wet and dip, or whatever they call it, the young men. But you're all messed up. So you wake up and say, did I have two men? Why? You're coming to your senses now. And you realize that, how did I do that? Now, you might not do that again for a long time, but then you get the urge. Likewise, brother. You wouldn't have took that dope. You wouldn't have had nothing to do with that woman. But you messed up. You ain't in your right state of mind. Your divine mind that was given to you by Allah. You intoxicated. So the Bible even said, you say you don't read the Bible. It's in the Bible. No toxin. God don't want you to have it. It's in the Quran. We don't use any toxin. Don't let nobody touch that divine mind. It's like you're getting so freakish today that you go in the bedroom and you let the woman tie you up. Three other women doing things you didn't never thought you were going to do. And they're just sitting around like you just a piece of meat. But you can't do nothing because you can't get untied. Well, likewise with you, sister. You do these things because you are not in your state of mind. You ain't got to tie you up. Your mind is all twisted and turned. So that's what they do. They reach that intellectual mind because they gravitate to your appetite. You always want to do something like that. So we ask, what is a Muslim? Because that's what you should want to know. What is a Muslim? Why do we call ourselves Muslims? why we say a din and a fitra. Because when you was in your din and a fitra, if we said, sure, our father said. But what sin did he do? He ate from the tree that God told him not to eat from. You eat from the tree? Hey, take a load of these drugs. I don't have no money. No, it's free. Free, yes, try it. You like it. Take another one. You like it. Take another one the next day. You like it. Now you're looking for the dope dealer. You got any more? Oh, of course, you hooked. Because you went against your God conscience. Why would you take anything and don't have a label on it? Because you was curious, put you out there. But you're so far out, you don't know how to come back. Allah makes everything new if you come to Him. And so this is why we teach over there, because there's things that you should know, children, and you can repent. Allah will forgive you for anything. I don't care if that man don't forgive you. But we men, if we study this religion, and we married you, and you got tricked out there, and you got conned out there, that's our way. Why would we leave you down? Well, you caught up with another woman. Doesn't mean nothing in Islam. I have to help her to clean up. Why? I married her. Why would God give them to me? See, but these barbaric, spineless individuals will dog her. Oh, Allah won't punish you. He didn't say, he said, love your mother. My mother's alcohol. Love your mother. My mother's a dope addict. Love your mother. My mother's a prostitute. You don't see that in no revelation. That's your mom. We can't grasp that. So let's go back to this piece of paper. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah said to him, Iqra, read. Read in the name of your Lord that created. Brothers and sisters, there was no piece of paper. You know that, Mirage? You ain't back then. Yes, I know it, because I studied. It was no piece of paper. I'm going to tell you why. In order to have a piece of paper, you got to have some ink. Ink comes from water. There was plenty of water. So did he have an ink pen? I don't think so. No, I know he didn't have one. Read. Read in the name of your Lord that created. But why did he tell us that he was Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, the creator of the system of all knowledge? Why did he say that? He didn't have to. He says, read, Muhammad. Read in the name of your Lord that created. If there was a piece of paper, man will get the credit. If there was an ink pen, man gets the credit. Why? Man made paper. Man made ink. Man made an ink pen. So Allah can't attach it with nothing physical. Because if it's physical, that's man. Allah needs nothing from our creation. Whoa. So what was he reading? He was reading his creation. He was reading about himself. What is his heart? What is my intellect? What is my soul? What is my spirit? You can't see that. You can't see that. It's coming. You don't know nothing about it until you go to the doctor or get an x-ray. Read my creation, Allah says. So why would man need a piece of paper when we was born to be man and woman? We was born as one. So who married? Who? Tell me. I'll give you, if I had a billion and one dollar, I'd give you a billion. Leave me with a dollar. I would pay you if you can tell me who married Adam and Eve. You know why I got married as a young man? I said, wow. Eve was here first. This myth that she came from my rear is a lie. She was here first. So some brother said, that can't be. Adam was here first. Well, fool, they was here as one soul. Meaning they both came in together. I said, wow, that means if I'm not married, I'm a half a man walking around this earth. I did not want to be a half a man. So I went and got Eve. Call her what you want to call her. She was a woman, and we came together as one. So my wife says to me, I'm 16 years old. She said, you love your mother. Who comes first, your mother or I? I said, my mother. What about your children? My mother. What about all your material? My mother. I didn't say it. God said, mom is number one. So the wife says to the husband, and who am I? Boom, we are one. You don't count your wife. Outside of us as one comes my mother. And should come your mother. This is just simple common sense, but no one teaches it. And that's why they don't learn it. They want to teach you Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Adin. But they don't know what you're saying. And though it takes time to teach someone what you were saying, brother, I think so. I don't think you grasp that. And you wonder why they left behind. But sister, just ask that scientist, that imam or that sheikh, say, what was you talking before you learned that? What was your ancestors in America speaking before you learned that? Because they taught my ancestors 450 years of the English language. Was we speaking English when we came over here? We were kidnapped. No. But 400 years into slavery, we lost that language. But today, they want to show off. But brothers and sisters, the reason I can teach like that, because I can tell you in English, and inshallah, gravitate to God's language, you'll be reading just like me. But if I don't give you an understanding of what is revelation, because it's in all different languages, they study in their language, rightfully so. I'm Italian. I don't know about English. I'm a Frenchman. I don't know nothing about Italian. Swahili. I don't know nothing about either one of you what y'all saying. So Allah says, give it back to them in the language of what they understand. But you want to take the Quran and beat up on the brother in the Bible. Well, hell, brother. Read. Well, Allah says, simple. Judge them by their book. Wow. Things are so simple. So Solomon had a community. He didn't have a bunch of women running around. He had a community of men, women, and children. And he called it his wives, 950 of them. I wish I could have told my daddy that before he left. Well, maybe he might see Solomon over there, and Solomon would tell the young man, and no individual can go through 950 wives in their lifetime. Alhamdulillah. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God. And what follows that salute and that translation of that salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, that is mentioned in the Jil, the Bible, the Gospel, as it is given to us in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. الحمد لله النبي العظيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله ودين. These are the different words. Yes, we say our even our oath and our thanks to God. We say it in the Arabic language. But if I don't tell you what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, you won't grasp it. And that's the furthest I go, because it's the open. We never open without saying with God's name. And I ask Allah to govern my tongue and guide me to take myself out, tell you what God says. From Prophet Muhammad, we give the excellent salute to, praise and peace and blessing be upon him, his descendants and his companion. We give him that salute because when we salute him, we salute all the prophets in one. See how merciful God is. But we don't understand. And I'm trying to give you some understanding this evening that why do we call ourselves Muslim? And that's an important subject because I went around the world and I found out a lot of people think Muslim means religion. Yes, religion, God didn't bring it here. before he let the Jews create a religion. And they were doing well. They were the chosen people, as they said. It was okay. But when he kept the knowledge for himself, Allah sent them Jesus to take that, to cut down the fig tree, to be able to stop them from multiplying. That's all it meant. Because you can't learn this and keep it to yourself. And then it was the Jews that created Christianity. They won't tell you that. But these were the good Jews, because the Jews that felt that they was punished, they felt they would do the right thing, and they created the Bible, the Old Testament. And in that testament, they believed in one God. Now you had Judaism, you had Christianity. However, then came that diabolical Jew against his brother and changed it and created the New Testament. Now, if you got a book that Allah allows you to create, why aren't you not sticking to that book? There will never be another Quran. Oh, yeah, Satan got books out there called Quran, but if you read it, it just tears your nature up. And you say, you put that book down. Yeah, so he can duplicate anything he wants. He has the right to do so. But your nature will tell you if you're in the right Quran. Yusuf Ali, we've been using it for umpteen years, and he's the closest one you're going to get to English. It'll give you your way of reading. I'll give you a good example. In the Ali's writing, that turns the language of Allah, the Arabic or language, of God's language only, that book you will hear Ali say, in the name of Allah. And that's where it was. And that's where we understood it. But remember, what if Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Wanda Muhammad, he went back and read it in God's language, and don't say that. It says, with God's name. Because you cannot, nor me or anyone, can come in God's name. You can't. You can't approach him unless he allows you to. You must come to Allah in what we call a servant, a slave servant back then. But the writers wrote the slaves out because 450 years, that'll mess you up. So he says servant. So he's a servant to God. You can only come to God as a servant when he allows you to. You have to humble yourself. But you say, well, I'm not a imam. I'm not a ulman. I'm not a scholar. Well, yes, you're not. But when you are hurt, you humble. You come to God. When you're down and out, you humble. You come to God. When you think you're dying, my God, then you make prayer to God. So we only come to God when we need him. But if you are consistent, repetition, give everything you got every day to God, and God is with you. So you go with God. You never go alone. And that's what's wrong with us today. We thought we were making on this earth by ourselves. Just think about it. So I can just wake you up consciously, and hopefully your subconscious will hold it so it can come back when you need it. So let's use the word trillion years, the angel was created. But God created the angels and said to the angels, I create you to assist my human beings. Trillion years. That's way a long time. Then that was the first creature. It was created out of light. I can't go into that too long because it would take me away from what I want to get to. But we'll teach it. Y'all have. Those who've been with me for all these years know I taught them a long time about who is the angel. But the angels created out of light. And the angels do just the will of God. They got a job, brothers and sisters. They have a job. They don't do no wrong. But the angels are not just there to make sure that sperm gets into that egg. The angels are not just there to mold and shape our arms, and our feet, our legs, our fingers, our nose, our mouth. He asked God, should I give him 2 eyes? Yes. Should I give him a brain? Yes. You have to ask God. He only does the will of God. But the rain, the hail, the snow, the sun comes up religiously. That's the angel. And it sits out in space, and science is trying to figure it out. Yes. There's a death angel. He comes and gets you. Don't care where you go. You're going to die wherever you are. You can't hide. You could be tall, short. You could be overweight, underweight, petite. When it's time for you to go, you got to go. You're going to be a little infant in the crib. Time for you to go, you got to go. Or Allah. created this way, Allah takes us out of here. When he wills it, not when no man. So this myth about he ran across the street and got hit by a car. Yeah, that mud and dirt got hit and rolled over and dragged you. But that spirit ain't there. Well, Allah knows what you're going to do before you do it. So he was there first. But we only learn this in moderation. Allah just don't give it to us. We have to learn it. So when you understand now why the angels here to serve us. Then that second creature was a jinn. Now he was created out of smoke and fire. He is a fiery man. You ever put something through the fire to clean it? He's pure. He was fire without any smoke to it. Now, ain't no smoke to this fire. This is fire. And you know fire can heat your food. Now, fire can kill you too. So he was a jinn, but he brought that jinn here to serve us. Now we got the angels and the jinn before we was even born. And then we was born. So we are above the angel because the angel got a job. We have a responsibility. You have to make a decision. I'm speaking to you from the Quran. Now, how did that book get written? Because the Christians started the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, started giving you real wine, and you're getting drunk, telling you that the priest is like God, you should make confession to him, accept God. Two flush is a sin, so the priest bends over boys, but he won't have a woman because it's a sin. The female don't want to have the man, so they become none of this world. When you go against Allah's world, when he asks you to go through this world to make it to the hereafter, you get punished. When you go against the grain, it comes back to haunt you. But you have a right. Allah gave us that right to be whatever we want. You want to be a man? It's okay. Go ahead. And you're a woman? You want to be a woman and you're a man? Go ahead. God gives you the permission. You can make that choice. But it runs out. Well, it's temporary heaven for permanent hell. So we think that we're supposed to be murderers. In our mind, we believe that. I was created to murder. No, you wasn't. You chose that. I was created to be a homosexual. No, it's not true. It's a mentality. And you have a right to handle it. But do Allah punish you? You want to be that? And you're treating people right? I never judge a man about his sexual life. Don't want to know. But damn, he's a great carpenter. He's a great designer. My God, that woman knows how to cook. But yes, she's a man. She believes she's a man. But we don't judge them because we can't judge ourselves. We didn't create ourselves. We leave that to Allah. If you can outdo this so-and-so and play great football, I'm going to make you the quarterback. If you like that and you are world heavyweight champ of the world, yes. They can be whatever they choose to be. You have that choice. I'm not judging you. But if you flaunt it, what's wrong? I got a problem. When you advocated that this is what we're supposed to do, now you commit the sin. We're not supposed to turn nobody to be who you are, other than your excellence as your nature. So our nature, brothers and sisters, our nature tells us through our soul, for we say that Allah will not change a group of people until they change that which is bothering their soul. And Satan said, I tell you God don't look like you. That's not what he said. Do you listen to your soul? Because your soul talks to you. I don't think so. And because you don't listen to your soul, Allah ain't going to help you. You take a step, he takes two. So you must take your step first, and then he will help you. God bless the child that has his own. You got to get your own. These are the things that should grasp in our mind when we read it and allow us to grow. And you find yourself being humble. And you begin to love a lot of people. Only if one mistreats you, you shouldn't mistreat that person. How do we treat this person? Well, God says, want for your brother and your sister that which you want for yourself. So treat them the way you want to be treated. Now, I guarantee you'll get blessings because the only thing that will get you in heaven is blessings. To you all out there, I want to speak about leadership. Leadership of religion. A community, a righteous community. A community for all. And you will understand, I will try my best to tell you about religion of Islam. Because the religion of Islam is a religion of peace. And that's what it represents, peace. Peace and unity in Islam is not a new religion. According to our Quran, the revelation comes from God to all of us, Christians, Jews, Muslims, to Muhammad, the prophet, who was an Arab, a citizen of Mecca. He was born in Mecca, and he made his home in Medina. I can speak about that. Why did he make his home in Medina? But you got to understand that we think that because we were born in a city, that's our city. They tried to kill him. He ran to Medina, where it says he flee to Medina, but we say he ran to Medina. And he was saved by Christians. They protected his life for 10 years. So he made his home in Medina. Today they call it Saudi Arabia. The revelation revealed to him that God sent new news to the prophet. This ain't new, but new news meaning what you don't know tonight I'm speaking to you. That's new news. And he converted in revelation to all. Once he got it, he believed 1,500,000 Muslims, but we all follow the Holy Quran. Our name is also taken from the word of Arabic, peace. There it goes, peace. Peace is powerful, brothers and sisters. We are Muslim, and it means a person who has accepted al-Islam, and that means we also accepted being peaceful to God. Yes, with ourselves. Peace with our soul. Peace with our fallen creation that God created. Peace. That's all it means is peace. How powerful is peace? Brothers and sisters, I've been teaching for a long time, and today I repeat myself. But I'm not redundant. I'm consistent. Because sometimes you don't get it. But we say, As-salamu. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. If we knew what that really means, we would never say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You don't have to put all that on it because the word As-salamu alaykum is God's name. Oh, you didn't know that. Didn't I tell you in the beginning, I don't even know but Bismillah. That's all you got to say with God's name. We say others. But we giving everybody, and don't put emphasis on, you just said God's name, As-salam. That's how powerful As-salam is. And if we can drive it, we can, you know, some people are so caught up with all this different calling today. One brother said, Brother Barak, Imam Warsi Muhammad, don't only have his own school of thought. Now, I'm just trying to get your attention. I want to smack him. Imam Warsi Muhammad don't have no school of thought, brother. Well, hell, whoever got a school of thought makes mistakes. When Muhammad the prophet speaks, he don't make no mistake because he only tell you what God says. Imam Warsi Muhammad follows the uswa, the nature of Prophet Muhammad, and he follows that by doing what? Telling you what the prophet said. That's perfect. There ain't no school of thought these holidays outside of the two Eve. You ain't call it Eve. You call it Eve. Because that's what our brothers couldn't brew that tongue. It's Eve. You know your mother Eve, brother? You know the one you have to go past to get to the Kaaba? You know the one you brings her out when you run the mountain? Mountain to mountain? Sometimes it's Eve. You want to forget her? We, for whatever reason, is reading, but Allah bless us from one amongst us. For he said, There's not a people on this earth that I ain't bring one from amongst them. Now, brother from Saudi Arabia, brother from Medina, brother from Korea, Tokyo, Mexico, my brother from the Philippines, from Poland, from England, from Turkey, Pakistan, India, from around the world, you did not grow up amongst us. So you thought Allah left us out? You really thought Allah left us out? In all them countries I mentioned, every last one, including Israel, including the country that they went into the fire, Germany, name them all. None of them collectively went through the hell the so-called American Negro went through. No one did that to them. For each one of them, whether China, Poland, each one of them, Pakistan, Turkey, each one of them, those countries knew their language, knew their culture. My brothers and sisters, they knew their God. We're the only ones, and we can't even grasp that understanding. We're the only ones that was put into slavery. That brings me to a point. This one piece of paper, when you're outnumbered a man 10-1, and now because of drugs, and because of incarcerated, and because whether we're a man or a woman, and because of dope and drive-by shooting, you outnumber us 31. For there's no one man on this earth is able to marry one woman. What happened to the lesser? Where did they go? But in America, one husband. So let's look at it. The reason why we look like everybody is because that slave master, in hindsight, I don't blame them, because their women didn't look like us. Most of them came from Europe. Their backsides were flat. Well, their legs, their breasts, they had nothing else. There wasn't no color to them because they came from Europe. But here's this black woman from Africa, all with one color, no two different colors that they're getting. I mean, shape, everything, firm, pretty. Yeah, had kinky hair, but she was so pretty. He couldn't help himself, but he did help himself. And some he brought in the house to work for, so he can have that whenever he wants. Or he'd go out and tell his slave master, hey, boy, go out there and give me one of those African women. What you doing, man? I'm taking your wife. But my boss told me to bring your wife. They're going to shoot you. Or they'll come out the field and get them. You hear them screaming. You realize, why are they screaming? What do he have that we don't have? Well, he knows what we have. That's why they castrate us. They're so freakish and so jealous, they would castrate our father. And don't let the man jump up and say, you ain't doing that to my mother. He's dead. They hang him. So nobody else can tell him what to do. All I hear is, brothers and sisters, come out and boil hot water and put you in it. And call pick a nigga. See which one you're going to fry. This is how they come out of church. They were barbarians. They were savages. That man knew what he was doing. He had to make them feel good about themselves, so they call him white. So you don't see that in Revelation. You hear the word black, brown, yellow, and red. Well, red was the one that was the real straight man. But they had to give a savage one a name, white, so he could feel good about himself. Very highly unintelligent and a barbarian. But see, as years went on, 300 years, getting close to 400 years, Caucasian woman said, let me tell you something, Bill Cross, don't you bring that black woman, that heifer, back here to take over my great-grandchildren's land. Because that's the way it was. One husband, you come out of the arms of your mother, and you become a Jew, you're a Jew. You come from the loins of that father. You're the baby. You're the offspring. So you have a right. So she said, no, no, make the law say one wife only. After she did that, she said, they still may come back. So let the children be illegitimate. That's what they're doing right now. Did you not know that Abraham had two different children? The first one comes from who? Eve. I'm sorry. I'm using Eve. I'm human. But the angels told me Eve is the first mother, just like Adam. But it's Hadi who you were talking about, because when you was running from mountain to mountain, you said, Hadi, Hadi, Hadi. You're out of breath. You don't even know you're calling her name. So it's Hadi. So Hadi had Ishmael. They said, out of wedlock. So Ishmael does not be accepted as the messenger of God. Wow. Hey, that's good. Well, what about Isaac? Isaac came out of the womb of Sarah. But he was married to Sarah. Who married him? Okay, we can get that. He was married to her. So who was Isaac? Isaac was who? As a slave. Gift. Sarah. But Sarah was too old, about 80. You don't have no children to be at 80. But she loved her husband. And she said, Abraham, go make a child with Hadi. He was messed up. It was her request. And sure enough, Ishmael came. And I go in the story about the sacrifice during Itahat, the sacrifice of his only begotten son. That's another story. It takes too long, but I want to get to the point. Wise man with wisdom, there's no way I can have a baby. I'm too old. He said, because you did good. Look at this, brother and sister. Because you did good, Allah going to bless you with one. She chuckled, like, yeah, right. So I'll be, and it is. Sarah became pregnant at the old age. To get your mind that Allah can do whatever he will. And Isaac loved Ishmael. So she called him in and said, if you don't separate these two children, Isaac will never grow. So he had to come to Hadji and tell Hadji that she had to leave. So he took her out in the desert. You know what she said, brothers and sisters? Did Allah ask you to do this? He said, yes. He accepted. And today, Ishmael is known as the over top of the Kaaba. Ishmael became the messenger of God. And Isaac became the messenger of God. But the Jews only accept Isaac. Because they say Ishmael was out of wedlock. Way back there, Heron, the separator. But a lot of the separators in the Quran, they don't lie in the Quran. They was messengers of God. They was a blessing from Allah. That's why Hadi was given to Sarah. For who? He didn't know it. But Allah sent her a message, and she act on her nature. Okay, you got it now. You got it. So where is all this piece of paper? The paper came out to block you for not asking for no land. But yet, the slave master got 25 going through 100, how about 2,000, 1 million black women he's having sex with, but he only got one wife. Right now, today, these men are. They are caught with hundreds of women. Men freaking with hundreds talking about presidents. Yeah, they got them. They talking about senators, all these big, conglomerate, rich men. One guy, it just paid off 80. He owned the Patriots. Come on, brothers and sisters. Well, how did you see? But that's okay with you. I did not have sex with that woman. They've been doing this for years. But told you once so you don't come back. And you went for it. Now, wait a minute. Let me give you one more. This man read the Quran. Who's in charge? The man is in charge. Whoa. He took a boat, came all the way in, wheeled it, and came and said, you want to rule these niggas for another 20 years? He said, I'll tell you what you do. Go give me that big nigga. I'm talking about the biggest one you got, 6'4", 250 pounds, nothing but muscle. What are you going to do? I'm going to show you. You're going to put his hands behind his back tight. You're going to tie and feather him. Whoa, tie and feather him. Yep. You're going to put a left foot with one horse and the right foot with the other horse and then set him on fire and turn him the opposite way. But make sure all the women's out, all the women. And all the women come out. Bring all the little girls here. Bring them all out. What about the boys? You can bring them, but we ain't worried about them. We want to shock these women. And that woman came up with the idea, this man cannot help me. Look the hell they just did. With all these brothers sitting around looking. So what did that say? Get that black man the hell out of the house. And look what you will raise. No, they human beings. I don't give a damn. If that father ain't in the house, there's no civility. So today, from 1818 to today, my sisters, you say, get out. Don't tell me what 400 and some years don't do. Get out. I pay the law. Hey, man, you got to leave this house. I pay $2 million for this house. All these funds, everything in here is mine. You can tell that to the judge, but you got to go. Then when they give us the welfare check, who they give it to? Female. So 30 he was on Skid Row, including the black mommy. But his wife never left him. But he was shameful not coming home because he couldn't feed his children. He had 7 or 8 of them. And when she heard that, she went and took him off that corner and bathed him and dressed him and said, go see that man. And he built an empire. Who did that? The female. Who gave Ibrahim a child before she gave one? There it is. The woman is powerful, brother. But we mistreat her that she gets away from us even as a picture. She don't want to be Sarah. She don't want to be Eve. She don't want to be Hadi. She don't want to be Khadija. She don't want to be the different females in the Quran that teach you how powerful that female is. So we don't have a community. We don't have a Sheba. We don't have a community. We're separated. You don't want the brother to love another person. Well, I want to know, how could you love more than one person? How could you love more than one baby? You got 10 of them. How about 14 of them? Which one you love the best? I don't ever tell me which one. I love all my children. Now, how the hell man can't love more than one? Got the same heart. Because I died today. Look like you died and give your heart away. They taking that heart and give it to that man because he's next in line. I guarantee a man going to say, don't give me no woman's heart. There ain't no such thing. There's a woman's heart, a man's heart. It's Allah's creation. There's no such thing as a woman's brain and a man's brain. There's no such thing as a man's soul and a woman's soul. There's no such thing as a woman's spirit and a man's spirit. It has nothing to do with gender. Put it in the proper perspective. That's why you can be a man. Because it's male and female, and you is male and female and me. And just some of us just go too far. And forget your femininity should dominate. Go too far. Your masculine gets feminine. This is life. You say, that woman can't do what you do. Yeah, get past that husband and try to take her baby. She will kick you. They'll stab you in your eye. You thought she was a man because you did. You ain't hurting her baby. Why? That's the masculine. I didn't know it was in her. You brought it out. The same way with the djinn. The djinn was a beautiful creature called him an angel up there. He was a so-called angel. But what happened? You came along and he saw a beautiful specimen of a human being that he is not. He said, I'm not bowing to that lead, that mud, that clay. Allah says, wait till I breathe into that mud and clay. And he breathed into the nostrils of our father. And what happened, brothers and sisters? We came to life. But you had nobody tell you you came here dead. Angels were dead, Allah created. The jinn was dead, Allah created it. The earth was dead, Allah created it. He brought him all the life, the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the seven seas, the birds, the bees, the animals, they were dead, Allah brought them all the life. Was we dead? No, that bud was dead. What happened? Allah breathed his spirit into his state, brothers and sisters. There's no such thing that Allah said, let us. That's man trying to trick you. Let us make man. Us wasn't even around, so how could us make man? Well, what did the Quran say? He says, I am going to create a khalifa. Wow, in the earth. But how did he do that, brother Murad? Imam, Dr. Murad, whatever you want to call me. I am the Imam when I speak from the Quran. When I talk about everyday life of being on the streets, I'm like you. I like to be called Imam when I'm giving the kupa. Outside of that, I'm your brother Murad. You don't even have to call me Murad. Call me brother Murad. So I'm saying to you with my intellectual mind, my heart, my deen of the fitra, my nature, and my spirit, and my taqwa. I'm saying to you that we did not come here dead. The earth was dead. The earth can move until the spirit was breathed in to the nostril of our Father. Then the Khalifa came alive. Now, to show you how excellent that our Creator, he turned to an angel, tell me your name. Oh, Lord, we can only tell you what you taught us. Meaning he didn't teach them their name, but he turned to that new creation that came alive in that second. Adam, tell them their names. He started telling them their names. Then they went down the Sajda. There's no God but Allah, except if any of us decide to ask God for permission to trick us and con us and deceive us, and we allow that to happen. We fall victim to his schemes. For his schemes, Allah says, is weak. So we should be working to have faith in God. It will help your soul. The Quran says, return to your soul. I just said that. The Quran says, turn to your soul. I will not help people until they help what is bothering their soul. Turn to your soul. God says, enter to my paradise. Enter amongst my faithful workers. Jesus said, we'll see Christians and Jews in paradise. You see, that's what you don't understand. They read it, brothers and sisters. My Christians, my Jews, my Hindus, my Buddhists, they all, Jehovah Witnesses, they all can talk back to you. How do you refuse when the Holy Quran says, quote, all you Jews and Christians and Sabbaths, believe in one God and the hereafter, and it will be no burden on you. There it is. Now, how do you mistreat them? I got a call, and I'll never forget the sister's name. But Andrea called me and said, brother, I heard Salima, but I was looking for you on Monday because I had a young lady you would like to talk to. It's all right, I'll put her on the phone, talk radio, to listen to my own wife. But she was born, I could always hear her. I didn't know who she was. Her name was Sandra. And she didn't even know. At the end, I told her, she got my attention because my first wife was Sandra 2X. And she went on to take her name, Khadija. Good name. Because we both came up under al-Islam. And my name changed to Rashid Muhammad. Because we wanted to live on our attitude. But anyway, and she had a little misunderstanding, because we all do. and she lost her loved one, her child. And that bothered her. It bothered any mother. You know, fear is when you don't know. That's what you fear. When you're doing things right, you don't fear. It's like being on the boat. I look like the boat going to tumble because the waves are shaking the boat, and you all, and this one guy standing up telling everybody what to do, and you're saying, "My God, how could he do that? He don't have no fear." That's because he talks to God five times a day. And when you talk to God five times a day, you don't feel guilty. You feel that God is with you. And some of us can't pray five times a day if we wanted to, because we live in a society that's only one prayer. And some of us miss prayer. Day you didn't call on God, but you fear that God's not going to help you. But that's not what he says in the Holy Quran. He says, "I hear all my supplications." So meaning that if Satan himself repent, he will forgive him. But Satan is not going to repent. He's a cold-blooded, calculated jinn creature that is subtle. He's subtle in his way because he don't want us to exist. No, that happened. So the young lady started talking about death. And when I explained to her what was death, explained to her we don't die, we evolve. And I explained to them that was earth that went into the ground. And I taught them about spirit. The spirit always stays with you. Because we all get out of shape. We all, our face can get wrinkled and certain things. We don't know how we look when we're younger. But that's going back to earth. That's the old earth. The new earth Allah will give us in that day of judgment and the hereafter. But you fall in love with the flesh, you can be out of love later. But if you love the spirit of the female, the heart of the female, the DNA feature of the female, the intellect of the female, she'll never die. That's your mother. That's your father. That's your children. That's your loved one. Never die. The spirit stays with you. So, but we all have to leave here, and we're going to go where? Another world? No, right here on earth. We're earthly people. They're all going to kill his animals. They're going to kill his grass and his trees, and he's going to kill his seven seas and stars, moon, and sun. He's just going to make it all over again. No, because it's a struggle to prove to God that when he changed this to the hereafter, here, right here on this earth, after all that we went through. So we deserve to teach this. Well, Allah gave us a gift because our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-great-grandmother said, "Oh, Lord, take care of my offspring, my great-grandchildren, great-great-great-great-grandchildren. We will suffer the balance of trouble, Lord. Covenant with God that we'll be all right." And today we are all right because one grew up amongst us. You know, I'm like, Muhammad, no, he was going to do. He cleaned us up. He told us. He didn't come here to teach us religion. He came to clean us up. We were filthy, internally, externally, in our mind and our soul. We was filthy in our actions and our deeds. We was filthy that we didn't want to be nothing. We ate the swine, we drunk liquor, smoked dope, smoked cigarettes, raping women, mistreating women. He had to clean us up. He sent one after us to teach us our true religion. And my God, 1975, here he comes. And some of these brothers are so selfish that what he put in for all the years to change us who we were, you hate him. And say, he didn't give us Islam. No, he didn't give you Islam because you're a dope dealer. No, he didn't give you Islam because you're an alcoholic. No, he didn't give you Islam because why? You was a pig eater. Yes, he didn't give you Islam because you was a prostitute. He had to clean us up so we can get ready to change, and he changed us. Now we're ready to go down in Sajda. And today we're in Sajda. Today we're calling the whole world back to prayer, don't even know it. We say it. Allahu Akbar, yes, God is great. Everybody knows that what Allahu Akbar means. But we don't just say that. Hayya Salat. Hayya Salat. But what is Hayya? What is it? It got your attention. You have to come and pay attention. Hayya Salat. Hayya Salat. What is that? Allah is asking not just to come to prayer, come to life. Come to life, brothers and sisters. come to live. Come to grow in the world. You don't want to live. Now, here's a sister I'm telling you about. She's handicapped, but she is a beautiful specimen of a female. And because she calls my phone, my house, and tell me all the right things I need to know, it motivates me. She's for your wife. You can buy new cars, new homes. You can take her to the world. You can give her the diamonds and the minks. But that don't match in the heart of a human being. The heart is so important, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to close on this. The heart is so important. It's so important that God himself says, I don't judge your words. I don't judge your rituals. I judge your heart. Your heart doesn't lie. And it's in way back there, Goosey. It's set on a throne when you think it's bigger than everybody. Let's look at it. I don't usually get a chapter out, but 255 in the Quran, you will find it. You recite a lot in Arabic. It's a call. It's called Goosey. In those words, it is talking about the authority of people that sits on the throne. They figure they're better than everybody who participate in the way to bring them back to what all that represents, this throne. And the verse it is talking about throne of the people as an authority. But the heart explains. It says kufa with a Q. But in the heart, it's also got that K, kufa, K-L-B. Spelled the same way, one with a Q and one with a K, as you got to put that hawk in it. But it means dog. One means dog, but they both sound alike. The other one is spelled with a Q, kufa. The other one don't sound like that, but to the ear it does, but that's in the Quran. But they both have the same K sound, but one is spelled with A. And some they're spelled with A-L-B. It means the heart, too. The Kaaba is the heart. But what does all this mean? You know, they used to bring a dog to the, back then, in Egypt, they used to bring a dog. And when you can, they tie the dog's string to the human being and to the dog's neck. And when you lie, the dog wails his tail. Look how sensitive the dog is that they can know your heart. That's why I call a dog the man's best friend. Even though it means heart, and one sounds like a dog, which means dog, but they're just talking about the heart of the human being in Egypt. And this is the way they practice for years. They live by it for years. The heart that Allah judged is the heart of the human being that can't lie to him. It goes deep down inside your heart. You don't even hurt, you know, somebody like that sister Sandra Zuma. She was hurting down in her heart. She didn't even know it was there. It got pain. No one goes down there but God. He's the only one who can go down in your heart. So you can't judge the next person. I can't judge the next person. Why, hell, none of us can judge ourselves. We didn't create ourselves. God judges us. So even though our mother didn't say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, because she didn't say that, doesn't mean that she don't serve God. Because whatever she said, her heart said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I thank you for listening. If I say anything to hurt anybody, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. If I said anything to hurt you, to Allah, to forgive me. If I said anything that was incorrect, I'm human. I make mistakes. But we say, SubhanAllah, I believe you got the understanding. If I said anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen and the future of the nation in which it was created, stand up in your belief, stand up in your faith, stand up in your consciousness, you ain't accepted unless you love Allah. That's your taqwa. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, support to Allah. I greet you from Father Adam, a biological father, peace be upon him. And I greet you from my father, don't misconstrue, he's not our father of our biological father, Ibrahim, because is the father of the intellectual mind to all nationality, because he found God on himself. Allah allowed us to call him Father, so we can use that mind, that intellect, to help search for God. He is the son of Adam. And I get you from Jesus Christ. Christ. Christ means Muslim. Jesus came here to cut down the fig tree to stop the Jews from overflowing. He did his job. As Allah said, they killed Jesus not. They did not crucify him. He never committed a sin. He stayed in the den of the fitra, and Allah took him to paradise. But he left you two things. He said, I'll leave you with. He said, I'll leave you with my mother. I'm going to leave my mother behind, and I shall return. And you took it literally that Virgin Mary was coming back. There's nobody leaves here, comes back. No one can tell you that. So who was his mother? You are, sister. You are, Sancho. You are, Andrea. All your women are mothers. And you will give birth to Jesus. Yes. It comes through your womb. Can't come in here unless it comes through the womb. So that's the mothers he's talking about. Now, some of you can't have children anymore. And some of you never had a child. So it couldn't have been physical. It's the mind of the human mind. And that's called womb. That womb is male and female. And she helps the male plant down seeds, grow, that idea can grow. And she motivates him to go out and bring it to fruition. That's what Allah created us for. That's what Jesus is talking about. And then Muhammad the Prophet, the seed of the Prophet, 1,400 years ago, created. And why? Well, he was created as a perfect example, as a human being. But what makes him perfect? What makes him perfect? Because no man is perfect on this earth. We all commit sins. But what makes him perfect? For 23 years, in moderation, he told us what God said. That's what makes him perfect. He never got out of his nature. So his gen was Muslim. Now, I can't tell you my gen is a Muslim. But I also can tell you my gen is a sympathizer. Yeah, he works on some things that I don't have an appetite for. I'm still working on that. But he's not a Muslim. I'm working on it. But Prophet Muhammad was told before he left, tell him, Muhammad, who are you? So you'll never mess up again that Jesus is the son of God. Jesus is the father. He's his father. None of that you get messed up. Tell him, Muhammad, who you are before you leave. I'm a mortal human being just like you are. There it is. You got his spirit. You got his soul. You got his deen al-fitr. You got his taqwa. So we don't follow the sunnah because we can't be equal or better. But we sure can follow the uswa, the nature in which he was created. There it is. Simple as that. And when you give him the greetings, we ain't greeting him over. There's no prophet on this that came to all mankind. None. Came to all mankind. Can't put one over top of the other. They all one. All those ingredients in him is in him. But why do we salute him? And now I have to salute all of them because Allah is merciful. You ever bake the cake? You know all the ingredients that go in the cake? I don't never hear anybody say, it sure tastes good. This butter sure tastes good. You don't talk about the ingredients. You say cake. It's delicious. But Muhammad the Prophet represents all the prophets in one because those are the ingredients that came before him and to create the Khalifa. Where he became the perfect example to us in our everyday life. Tomorrow you will see and hear on 7-8, and you will hear in 7-8 on Thursday, and that brother is going to come and teach. Get out of obey. Amen. And on Friday, you have the number brother. He does Jumbo because he's over top of the military. He's our engineer. We thank Allah for him. And he's a great son of Booker T. Washington. You will hear him. And then I return at 5 o'clock on Friday to stay away from Jumbo, that you don't think we're doing Jumbo twice. And we open the lines to AskMuhammad@yahoo.com. but ask Murad Muhammad anything that you can ask that you think will help those out there in radio land. I appreciate it. And then on Saturday, my beautiful niece, Alima Muhammad, and her sister, Dr. Nadira Muhammad. And pretty soon, inshallah, for the end of the year, you will see two doctors that came together. Both of us are siblings, and that's not counting their daughters. And pretty soon, we'll open the line to many more sisters that now say, I asked my sister Joan, you should go on the radio. You did so much in this Islamic community, and she's an assistant to Aisha Mustafa for the Muslim Journal. You all should buy the Muslim Journal. Every one of my boys took out, I don't care if one paper, buy one. It will help us to, collectively to be able to talk to the world. But some people don't come on these stations, they pick up a piece of paper, they want to feel it, they want to look at it, they want to see it. It will never die. Inshallah. And then I return on Sunday with Dr. O. A doctor that I love so dearly. We got a lot of good potential for her. And she teaches, you are your own physician. I'm your host tonight, Murad Muhammad. And I want to make a dua. Oh Allah, forgive those who have left. Give my beautiful sister with her beautiful heart, Andrea's baby. Separate their faults from their goodness as thou separate the east from the west and grant them paradise. Oh Allah, help those who are ill, those who cannot help themselves. We ask Allah to lift the burden from them. Oh Allah, help those who want to help those that cannot help themselves. And those who want to help but can't, bless them for good intentions, Lord. Give them barakas and send them to paradise. Because you ain't even getting in heaven, not with your money, not with your ego. You ain't getting in heaven with the barakas when you do for someone that you don't have to do for. Allah smiles upon that. Peace and love. Assalamu alaikum.